Okay, here it is, finally. The episode on spanking versus not spanking. Now, if you're a first-time listener, go listen to one of the other shows, because this is more of a serious show. It's like a bonus show. Okay, but it's not, you know, wouldn't listen to it for the first time. So, that's it. This is it with Shannon Lee. She was great. She was easy to talk to. I thoroughly enjoyed her. If you want any information about Shannon, go to our Facebook page and you'll be able to get in touch with her. I hope you do if you need her help. And I think that's it. Oh, by the way, this was not recorded by our normal producer, Katie. So if it doesn't sound as good as it normally does, that's because we did it in a very simple fashion with just a mic and a computer. And don't blame Katie or Nerdist. But I think it's going to sound just fine. You'll hear everything. All right. Okay. Enough talking. Okay. Bye. See you soon. Talk to you soon. Whatever. You know what I mean.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
A very funny guy, Todd Glass.
Yeah. Hey, Todd. It's Nick Swartzen calling again about doing your podcast.
The entertainer's entertainer, Todd Glass, everyone.
Todd. Hey, it's Zach. El Snacker. Listen, man, I really want to come on the podcast. I've got stuff to promote.
Comedy Central presents Todd Glass.
Todd Glass. Ryan Regan. Again. If you don't want me to do the podcast, just, I don't know, let me know that. Do you want me to beg? Is that the way you work?
The best part of having a TV show is when your comedian friends pitch you an idea. No matter how absurd, you can immediately greenlight it.
Todd Glass is on the great show.
From the beautiful Las Vegas Strip, high atop Black Horse Motors, it's the Todd Glass Show.
So we're here with here's the show. We're here. There we go. And we are here with Shannon Lee, who I will talk to in 1 second. So for a long time, even back from my days from Shannon, just so you know, I'm referencing an old podcast I did with Jimmy Dore and Steph, comedy and everything else. We've always been obsessed with, you know, spanking children, not spanking children. And I thought, well, let me have a therapist in here that's educated on that. I have my opinions, but I was always curious to hear a therapist's opinion on them. And we were saying before we went on the air that you saying you've never done something like this. And I'll be honest with you, if you saw my regular show, I'm a little more comfortable. I'm even a little bit, I guess, nervous. You know, I'm okay. Bouncing around trying to think of another word. I'm nervous because I've wanted to do this for so long, and now here we are. So, you know, we're all going to do the best we can, and it's going to be great because we're all just going to be honest with each other. And when you're honest and you bare your soul, and you can't go wrong. You really go wrong when you're trying to do something or pretend you're something you're not.
Absolutely.
You can't go wrong if you're just being yourself. So I'm just going to start. Well, I don't know, Daniel, should I? And Daniel Kino is sitting in with us today.
Hey,
also,
guys.
And then
you
also
doing?
Blake Wexler is playing producer today because Katie was busy doing nothing.
Well, let's get to know Shannon a little bit so we and everybody else can kind of know who we're talking about.
Yeah, so Shannon, your background is...
I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, mm-hmm. and I've been a therapist for almost 12 years, worked with a very diverse population, mostly abused and neglected children. I did that for about 10 years. And now I work in private practice, and I work with adults and teens and children, and I do a lot of parenting currently.
Great. And how long have you done this? Did you just say that?
Almost 12 years.
Almost 12 years.
I've been a therapist,
years.
Well,
that's
and then
good.
I've worked with children in various settings for probably about 20 years, actually.
Right. So, you know, I'm going to say this. It's easier for me to say it than you because you do it. It would look like you were saying it about yourself. But I just think it's always funny. Over-therapizing isn't probably good, but then under-therapizing. Is that the right word, therapizing?
Is that a real word?
Yeah, going to therapy to get your thoughts together and get your head together. And I think, you know, I always say, you okay? We're going to fix
good.
The mic.
Yeah, we're good.
You want to move it?
Should
why don't
move
you move
forward?
It a little bit,
oh, that, yeah, that probably is smarter.
Okay. That... You know, understanding the human mind is a very difficult thing. So, yeah, I always say, what would a therapist think? And I know sometimes people think, oh, what, do they know everything? No, but you know what? Your dentist doesn't know everything. But he knows more. No one doubts that if you're having trouble with your teeth, you couldn't battle that. Oh, I'm going to figure out my teeth. You go, no, you go to a dentist. And the same thing with your mind. I go, of course, you go to a therapist. That's what they do. They help you clean things up and organize things and understand this and make sense of that and bring clarity to your life. It makes sense. It's not hocus pocus. It's real. So when it comes to children, I'm going to go a little long here, and then obviously I got a million questions to ask you. And I'm going to preface this by saying, because this is some stuff we've talked about on the old podcast, but I want to repeat some of it for people that didn't hear me talk about it on the old podcast. We're not talking today about child abuse, even though one day I would like to see what we don't call child abuse today have it go into the category of child abuse. But for conversation purposes today, we have to clarify, we're not talking about things that you could get put in jail for. We're talking about what is socially acceptable, spanking. And I always think spanking sounds a little too light, because when you ask people how they spank their children in front of other people, they always go a little lighter. When you're mad, and the kid's shutting up for a reason, when a kid's having a tantrum, you have to apply enough force on him to get him, if it's working, if the spanking's working, it's hitting. It's hitting.
Absolutely.
Right. So that I'm just surprised that we still live in a society where, you know, it's that it's still like some people, even intelligent people, defend it. So no wonder we have cases where there is child abuse, I feel, because even the smartest are defending that sometimes.
Well, can I interject? Can I have a...
So with you here today, there really is no... When will we get to the point? And I know there's people listening, and I said I'd go long. It's the way I am, but then I will. I know there's people listening today. We're not looking to be critical of someone's parents, or if you're listening and you had kids, and some of the things we're saying not to do, you did. It's a different time. We're not looking to make you feel bad, or if you admit that we're right today, then you're admitting that you raised your children wrong. It's not about that. It's about be brilliant and be able to say, you know what, I did do some of the things they're saying not to do. But that's okay. It's a different time. Mostly to the people that are about to have kids, I want to hear this. People that are thinking about having children that will hear this today. I'm just surprised that there's still a gray area in, you know, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And you deal this on a daily basis, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also find it extremely disconcerting that this still occurs, because there is a lot of education, especially now, and a lot of positive parenting techniques that are available. And it's really, I work with a lot of parents that actually still use corporal punishment and spank their children. And so the really, for me, what it is it's about connecting with that parent and empowering that parent. And so I think a lot of parents are really just lacking in skills.
And they're embarrassed.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, and people don't want to talk about it. And I think the more we talk about it, the more people will be educated about it and have more skills.
Has there ever any studies been done that link education or level of education to the amount of corporal punishment you'll dispense on your kids?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And what are the
less educated people use corporal punishment and spanking more often than people that are educated?
Right. Although
absolutely.
Go ahead. I was going to say, although probably extremely important to point out that there are still educated people that still in this area go, they think, because see, to me, it should be zero. Because
absolutely.
Because I'll tell you why. Because you know, a lot of people have said over the years, oh, you don't have kids, Todd, how can you weigh in on this? Mm-hmm. And I always say, I'm not weighing in on the intricacies of raising children. If you talk about what diaper you're going to use, oh, I would never let them watch TV. Yeah, wait till you have a kid. And then you, but on the big thing of hitting or not hitting, I have this joke in my act where I go, I would never say to someone, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I would never hit my wife if I got married. No one would go, oh, wait till you get married. You can't. No. Right. It's either right or it's wrong. And I think here's what happens when you tell people, well, you know, if I have kids, I won't hit them. The reason they go, wait till you have kids, because what they're really, I think, saying is, say, I'll try not to hit them, because you're never not going to hit them ever. But imagine if you said that about a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be in a relationship with a woman and never hit her? Of course! And if you ever do, to me, with hitting kids, I always tell people this, and you know, maybe your red flag should be when you start slamming doors around them. You're not the worst parent in the world, but maybe it's time to go, before I hit, or maybe you hit one day, you spank a little harder than you think, hey, we need to get into classes.
Absolutely, because the solution is not in spanking. If a parent is angry and they're spanking their child, the spanking doesn't work, no matter what. So what happens when the behavior continues? The spanking becomes harder, and the punishment becomes more aggressive, and then that leads
more
to
frequent.
Abuse and more frequent, and it doesn't work, no matter what. All it does is it encourages violence. It devalues the child, it devalues the parent, it devalues the child-parent relationship, and it encourages violence in our society, and it's absolutely uncalled for. We have so much education now and skills to teach parents to be effective with their children. And I think that that's the most important thing, is empowering people. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get a little, you know, for people that are listening and thinking about having kids, I think we got to get to the point where we don't go, well, they have a right to their opinion, and I'm going to be as, you know, as crass to go, no, you've got to listen to the show today and go, I think the reason it's hard, because you have to undo a feeling, like I'm sort of saying what I just said a minute ago, wait a second, this, you know, we have to undo some things we had in our head, and what's right and what's wrong. It just, to me, logically makes sense. Number one, when you hit your kids, when you spank them, whatever you want to call it, you teach them nothing about dealing with anger when you don't have it. When dealing with anger when they can't spank someone. So now the first time you're in a relationship with a girlfriend, and you've never been indirectly taught, you don't know timeouts, you don't know anything that, so what are you going to do? Well, even if you don't get into an abusive relationship where you maybe hit your girlfriend, you certainly turn into a person that's slamming doors and breaking your phone, because for your whole life you were taught how to only deal with anger when you could hit the other person. Now I'm 17, I'm in my first relationship, I can't hit this person, so what do I fucking do? Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Children that grow up and that are spanked, they will deal with other people in relationships with anger. That's what they're taught. That's all they know.
And why shouldn't they?
They haven't been given any other problem-solving skills. They've been taught that that's what works. Becoming angry and hitting and being violent works. And it doesn't. It just doesn't.
It doesn't, short term.
At any level.
See, that's what I'm... Are you supposed to sit here today, maybe if it was 20 years ago, let's say, and go, hold on now, look at the other side of this. Spanking.
There's no other side, as far as I'm concerned.
Is there anybody in the field, any professionals in the field that support the opposite argument of that?
Absolutely.
Are there?
Absolutely.
There
are some therapists that believe, you know, the California law is that you can spank your child as long as you don't use an object and you don't leave a mark. So you can use your hand and over clothing and spank your child.
That's allowed legally?
That's allowed legally. It's California law. And so there are certain professionals and therapists that actually don't argue with that law. I don't know that there are... There may be some religious therapists that are encouraging that.
Right.
And I don't know.
I don't know the stats on that.
Although there are, for sure. And so...
How come nobody's lobbying to change that? How come no one's bringing that up?
Here we are.
You know, right. I said this. If we did what we're talking about, you know, can you bring a child into the world? And some people go, well, that's a lot of work. I think I have to point this out so people think, okay, we can disagree with Todd, but he gets it. I think a lot of people, when I'm saying this, think, wait till you have kids, because they go, you don't realize how manipulative kids can be. Yes, I do. I get that sometimes you want to take a kid. You don't do it. Some people even feel dirty saying this. I don't feel dirty saying it, because it's a thought you have inside of you. Every parent's had it. I'm going to fucking choke the shit out of this little kid. That's okay to have that thought, but you don't react on it.
No.
So if you're sitting there going, well, I don't know, that's hard. They can be manipulative. We're not sitting here and going, no, they can't. No, they can be manipulative. They can make you want to fucking throw them up against the wall. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't... Your patience doesn't allow what's right and wrong. If you don't think you could have a child, or, hey, same thing, keep going back to a girlfriend. If you don't think you could have a girlfriend and for the life of your relationship never do any hitting or no, you know, slamming doors like crazy all the time, then maybe you don't belong having children.
Absolutely.
You know, and what amazes me is that for people that are religious, and I don't want to turn into a religious discussion, that say, you know, God spare the, that if there is a God, he probably said there won't be an overpopulation because a very small percentage. I don't necessarily believe in God or not, or I'm not sure, but if there was a God.
What do you mean? You know, you're not sure?
I don't.
Why are you
I don't want to turn it into a religious.
You're very sure
I don't want to turn it into a religious discussion, but I'm saying if there is a God, I imagine him saying, oh, well, there'll be overpopulation. And he would go, no, there won't be overpopulation. You know why? Because raising children is the most god-awful, hardest thing in the world. And only a small select of people that have the patience to do it will have kids. But somehow the word got out, no, you don't need patience. Well, what do? If you don't have patience? You don't know to take breathing and have to go in the corner. And that's how worked up they have you. Oh, you just have them and you hit them. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. Oh, what do? Yeah, we hit them. So, no, that's the, when did this become okay? And I always say time doesn't equal validity. If it did, look at some things we've done. People go, come on, we've been spanking kids for years. No, it's either right or it's wrong. Just because we've been doing it for 50 years. We've done a lot of things in this world. That's one thing to look at, I always ask people. Look at some other shit we've done for a long time.
We've been smoking cigarettes for 100 years. And we're stopping that.
Have you had parents come in that are dead set on the spanking, and that you've seen unbelievable results, that they've seen the light at the end of the tunnel, they go, oh my God, this is more powerful?
Absolutely.
And what is that like for them?
Absolutely. Well, it gives them a sense of empowerment, and they're actually connecting with their child. The most important thing is to connect with your child. So if you're spanking your child, you are disconnecting from your child. Your child is afraid of you. They feel shamed. Mm-hmm. And they feel really confused. Parenting is really about love and nurture and care. And so if your child is afraid of you, that they continue to disconnect from you further and further. So when I teach parents how to connect with their child and teach them positive parenting techniques, their child actually starts behaving. Mm-hmm. And listening to what they're asking them to do. And so the parent's life becomes a lot easier.
Right.
And they become a lot less stressed. And the child obviously becomes a lot less stressed. And the home life is obviously a lot more positive. The child is then doing what he's supposed to in school. I mean, it's just it goes full circle. For you know, I have parents that come in and are absolutely against eliminating spanking. So in those situations, obviously, I'm not there to change their values. I'm not there to really enforce things upon them. My role is to really teach them what works and what doesn't work. So mm-hmm. It's their choice at the end of the day to try something new. So what I do is I really build a solid relationship with the parents. And like I said, I try to empower them. I don't shame them or put them mm-hmm. down or make them feel stupid for the fact that they're spanking their kids and it's extremely archaic. What I do is I build a relationship with them and I support them and I give them whatever it is that they need so that they can start to build themselves up. If it's anger management, we work on anger management. That's usually the first thing that we work on. Relaxation, you need to relax. Let's practice some relaxation. You know, a lot of parents don't realize that they're the model for their child, and they're teaching their child everything. The child watches everything that the parent does. So when I'm actually able to give the parent examples of that and really break it down for them, they're able to really understand the effect of positive parenting and the fact that they can really connect with their child and build a really positive, loving bond mm-hmm. with their child that really works.
I have a question. Is there a common thread, like say you took 10 fathers or mothers, just parents, that mm-hmm. all spanked their kids, and I'm sure they all come from different countries, different socioeconomic levels. Is there a common thread that though still among all of them? Is it insecurity? Is it anger? Like, what is it that overall drives everybody?
I'd say anger is a big one. Inability to manage emotions effectively and having those skills to manage emotions effectively. I think that's probably the biggest. The other is lack of communication skills and not knowing how to communicate either with your partner. A lot of parents have difficulty being on the same page. So if you're not working as a team and presenting yourself as a united front with your children and not working together, then it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about, when I'm working with couples, bringing them together and getting them to work as a team and to realize the strength that comes with that. So I think it's really lack of skills in communication and lack of emotion regulation skills, distress tolerance skills, coping skills. I think those are all skills that are really important for all parents to have.
A minute ago, I had something in my head I want to get out, because to me it's like, to get certain people to be with us right now and move forward, I have to spend a little more time on, you know, because I know people want to go right to, well, no one's a perfect parent.
Right.
We're not talking about being a perfect parent. No. You can make a lot of mistakes, but when is the line you will cross where you go, to me, if there's a line, you can make mistakes, still a good parent. You make two mistakes, you're still an awesome parent. But what point can you cross the line where you go, no, stop throwing it under the category of no one's a perfect parent. You're not. You think you're close to a perfect parent? You're fucking horrendous. Stop throwing it in and giving yourself that treat to go, no one's perfect. Yeah, I'll show you people that make a lot of mistakes and are perfect. You're not one of them. And just I hear it. To me, I think, like, for instance, even in the yelling category, can you raise kids and never yell at them? Obviously not. But if you know how wrong it is, tell me if this is.
You're supposed to be able to, right?
I don't believe in yelling.
I don't believe in yelling.
The only time that you should yell at your child is if it's a safety issue. He's running across the street and he's going to get hit
by a
car.
To alert him, yes.
Right.
That's the only time you should raise your voice to your child, as far as I'm concerned.
By the way, make this clear for me, because a lot of people, we have this thing. You just said yelling. But people go, there's never a time to spank. And people, a lot of times, they're ready because they're so worried that they wouldn't be able to spank their children. And they don't know. I've seen this before. They go, well, what about if he touches a hot stove? What about if he runs out into the street? Is there a reason? I think there's a reason, right? Right? You said yell, meaning, hey, be careful. That doesn't mean it has to be followed up with a hit.
Yeah, you moron, what are you?
Yeah, he almost got hit by a car. If that doesn't scare the shit out of him, well, maybe you have a child that needs more than hitting. If, you know, he ran out into the street and hearing a car screech and you yelling. Yeah. But so what I'm saying is, like, maybe I'm wrong. You correct me if I'm wrong, because this is what I've been saying for years. Does it mean you're a bad parent if one day you're in your house and you're eating and you just go, not now, I can't take leave? But if you know it's wrong, and it's really wrong, and how much you can... I remember my parents weren't perfect, but I remember one time my dad did this. To me, it almost was just as good as him not yelling. He called me in the room, and I remember being young, and I cried because I knew that this was hard for my dad. Even at a young age, I wasn't dumb, and he basically said that, you know, I love you. I get a little emotional just talking about it. But, you know,
That's
Jesus
okay.
Christ.
You're with the right person right now. It's okay.
Sure.
It's all good.
But, you know, he said that he made a mistake. And that was hard for him. But to me, that's a perfect parent. You don't go, oh, well, your dad's close to perfect because he pointed out. No, that's perfect. So he was able to yell but still go, that's not what I want. And that's not, and he felt bad about it. So, you know, but where do you draw the line? Do you go, how much, you know, with hitting, to me, tell me if I'm wrong on this. One spank that you're not proud of. And if that's the story you tell, yeah, about 2 years ago, Jason was in and I spanked him on his butt. It was a little harder than I thought. And I went into parenting classes and I've never spanked him since. You're a perfect parent.
I hear what you're saying, and I have to say the word that bothers me is perfect.
It's perfect.
Because for me, there's no such thing that it kind of...
It's a great point.
There's no such thing as perfect parenting. You know, we can classify... I don't even like to classify parents as bad parents.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say that there's parents with good parenting skills and parents with really bad parenting skills or poor parenting skills. Perfect parenting, to me, is... I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I agree with...
Let me interject real quick so I don't think... I'm completely saying it wrong. I guess what I was trying to do is say you can make mistakes and still be an awesome parent.
Absolutely. And if you make a mistake, then you let your child know you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's teaching the child right there. We're models for our kids. We have to model that we're not perfect and that we make mistakes. And then you talk about it and you teach them that that's okay.
Right.
So does that make a good parent? Absolutely, that makes a good parent. For sure.
But if you're hitting your kid any amount, you can't write that off as, well, nobody's perfect. You know, it's like, no.
It's rationalization that it doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. Spanking is a lot easier. Parents that spank their kids don't take the time to actually learn the skills that really work.
You know what my brother said that I thought was really interesting? A lot of times, and this drives me berserk, when you see a kid acting out at a mall, mm-hmm. you see someone at another table gone, you know what that kid needs? He needs a good spanking.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory. I bet that kid gets fucking spanked. But he can't get spanked as hard as he gets maybe in private to shut him up in front of a restaurant. He knows what it's like when his parents have... He knows when it's like, I said, stop it! But now they're at a restaurant. But you show me a kid that gets timeouts, which have to be implemented from a young age, and you, or no TV, you know, any alternative way. I call them timeouts. To me, that means any alternative way. You whisper to a kid at a restaurant, and you've already made your word powerful.
Oh, this is your brother's. Yeah, because you did this.
Mm-hmm. You whisper to a kid at a restaurant, if you don't stop it, you're not going to watch TV for a week. And you've already done it 3 days, and you stuck to it?
Absolutely.
That kid's going to shut up.
Absolutely.
So stop acting like that kid that's unruly at the mall. That represents... Kids unruly to me and loud, most of the time, I bet, represent kids that get spanked. He's getting
spanked. Absolutely, and represent kids that have parents that have very poor parenting skills.
Right.
It's not about, as far as I'm concerned... you know, a lot of parents will come in and try to blame the child... The child, it's their fault, it's their problem. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, it's the parent's problem. It's about parent, it's their fault their child is acting that way because they don't have the skills to teach them how to act correctly.
And kids, maybe I'm wrong, but just from things that I've observed is kids respond well to respect.
Absolutely.
And they can feel it. You can try to bullshit them, but it's your actions, it's your body language, it's almost intuitive. It's like dog, it's like nature. They respond to respect. And if you're honest and you respect them, they'll give that back to you. And I think a lot of times what happens is parents will take that as a sign of disrespect, even subconsciously if they don't call it that. Mm-hmm. So they think by hitting them, that's them being more dominant, and that'll get them some respect.
Well, Jimmy.
Absolutely. Respect is one of the most important things for children. Absolutely.
And they need to. Kids want to respect you. They desperately need to look up to you, and they need to know that you're the most awesome person.
Absolutely. So if you spank your child, they lose that respect.
Right. Right.
You don't get that respect from your child if you're spanked by your parent. And that stays with kids long term. Long term.
Mm-hmm. And you know what gets me? Oh, go ahead. No, what gets me is I would think what I'm about to say, well, we don't have to say this. People know what we mean. But obviously, by conversations I've had with people, if I have to hear one more person say after a conversation like this, well, kids need discipline, I want to fucking pull my hair out of my head. I'll be as dramatic as I want to be. Go, what the fuck did we say they don't need discipline? We're talking about alternative discipline. Yes, kids need a shitload of discipline. No one in this room's arguing it. We're talking about the kind of discipline. That's what we're talking about. The kind of discipline. They need discipline mixed with a shitload of love.
Absolutely, hey, absolutely.
Guess who else?
I have to say one thing. Discipline is 90% instruction and 10% correction.
Right.
I love that. Say that again. I'll be over here.
So discipline is 90% instruction and 10% correction. As far as I'm concerned.
Do you understand what that means?
I do, and I want to hear you explain it even a little bit more.
What do kids need? They don't know anything when they come into this world, right? So we're teaching them about society, social norms, everything. So we need to instruct them on how to act and how to be, on how to... Everything. We have to teach them everything. So instruction should be all of the time in a very positive way. Joey, I want you to take your school bag and get it ready for school tomorrow and put it on the end of your bed. That's instruction. If he doesn't put it on the end of his bed, then you need to tell him again and teach him and show him how to do it. It's still more instruction, and it's always with love. Parenting is about love, and if you don't have that component and the positive reinforcement, then your child is going to be all over the place and you're going to be completely stressed out all the time as a parent.
Do you think it starts as simple that, you know, I always have the theory that, again, going back to, I get time, taking the TV away or taking, I forget a friend of mine that I talked to this about, but he goes, instilling alternative means of discipline mean carry through.
Consistency. And follow through.
Right.
It's two of the most important things when it comes to parenting.
And if your word... If early on, here's what he made it make so much sense to me. He goes, a lot of times those types of discipline, meaning taking away their TV or taking away or
negative
whatever.
Negative reinforcement, it's called.
Right. Is that, that's
there's positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement.
But if you're taking away, let's say you're, is that, that's a good way to do it, right? A consequence.
Negative
reinforcement. A consequence.
Right. This made so much sense to me. I thought, oh, that's where it all starts, why it's hard with follow through. Because whatever you take away from them, by the way, he doesn't mean you shouldn't do this. He's just explaining why it got hard. And he goes, oh, because it means they're with you more. So you go no TV, TV gets them away from you. You're not going camping with your friends this weekend. That means, it just seemed like everything I did that was alternative meant, but guess what? You only have to do it for such a short time, he said, for then you'll never do it again. Once he said, I said no camping, he goes, I said no camping with your friends. And he goes, Todd, I couldn't believe it. I didn't want to do it. I did not, no camping. He goes, and when I said it, I thought, oh, why did I have such a strict, I should have said no TV for a day. He goes, right. But I did it. He goes, Todd, I'm not lying. He goes, that lasted for the rest of my life almost. Like that's not fucking around. He said, I didn't go camping with my friends. I remember once my mom did something like that. And by the way, one other thing to preface, because people ask me this a lot. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. What was my upbringing? Come on, this rage has to come from somewhere. A good upbringing.
Yeah, you know, I have actually met his mother, one of the sweetest people you would ever
know. No, there was some stuff in that, you know, now. My mom wasn't perfect. My dad wasn't perfect. But that's not where my rage comes from at all, because I had really good parents, you know. My rage comes from, and I didn't even know.
They did buy him a lot of lead toys, but yeah. That's the only thing.
My rage comes from watching stand-up comedians over the years, and they all, and I see, and this is, I didn't even know where it came from. And one day I went, oh, that's where it comes from. I was at a comedy club. You know what we need to do? We need to go back and hit our kids. That's what we need to do. My dad, I remember the day. Is that what we need to do? What if, doesn't that sound wrong? And you not only know what's wrong, if the masses, I figured this out, it's almost scientific. The masses, including me, I don't know anything about science. I'm not insulting the masses. In certain areas, I know a lot about stand-up comedy. I'll say it. But I don't know about science. Probably whatever I think about science, I'm going to be wrong. So whatever the masses think about it yourself. Even if you're listening to this right now and you think, they're not making any sense here. I get it. And we try. That's where people go. You know, no one's going to listen to this and go, oh, they're stupid. They're going to go, yeah, it makes sense. But wait, I know we said wait to have kids, but still. No. The masses think you should hit kids probably if they do. Well, guess what? The masses are morons. That's, it's not right just because the masses think it. And you as an individual should be able to sit in your living room and go, oh, yeah, usually the future is, you studied this. Like I said, you're not perfect because you're a child therapist. But guess what? Either as a Jaguar or a guy who repairs cars, you can get a bad one. But overall, they know how to fix your car. You're going to be right more than the average schmuck.
Absolutely.
And if you're listening to this, you should be able to go, yeah, this is a woman or a man, whoever we happen to be talking to you today, who studies this. Stop and let go of your beliefs. Let go of it. It's not
first of all, in order,
thing.
Can I just say something?
Let her react.
Okay.
Absolutely. There's hundreds and hundreds of studies that show that spanking does not work. Hundreds. I mean, psychologists have been researching this for years and years and years. Spanking doesn't work. So it's always, like I said earlier, so disconcerting to me that people still hold on to that so strongly that it works. Where? Show me an example where that has worked.
Long term.
You know, it just doesn't. It doesn't. I
people always say, like, oh, my dad hit me and I turned out all right. And it's like, well, what do you mean? You hit your kids, dude. That's right. Not all right.
Right.
You're just passing that on to your kid. Hey, you know what? Why don't you deal with it in 30 years? I don't want to.
Would absolutely. And studies show that
the chain will go on.
It keeps going, no matter what.
Will you explain the timeout? Will you explain how that's supposed to work? I know, like, you know, it's kind of like a part of our vernacular now, but from a clinical point of view, how is that supposed to work?
And let me tag that with another question so we can both shut up and listen. His question, mm-hmm. And also give us some other, I always go to the no TV. Give us some other alternative discipline for your children that are proven to work, timeouts, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. The way that a timeout works is basically, it's giving the child a time to think about that behavior that he has done that's not correct or not wanted or that's, you know, the parent doesn't like. So the timeout is for the child to sit and think about the behavior. So if the way that a timeout is supposed to be done, it's supposed to be done the same exact way every single time. You know, you tell the child, you give the child a warning. I'm going to give you a warning. I want you to stop. You want to tell them the behavior that you want to see. So you give them a warning and then you do the timeout.
And that can start at what age?
That can start at age 2. Even.
Two, just lesser mm-hmm. amounts of timeout.
The timeout
right?
is supposed to be for whatever age the child is. The timeout should be the same amount. So if it's a 2-year-old child, you put them in a timeout for 2 minutes. A 3-year-old child is 3 minutes. So, you know, there's all sorts of different ways to do timeouts. As far as I'm concerned, it should be done the same way every single time. So the child sits in the chair. Some parents put a little timer on, so the child knows as well. Time is up in 5 minutes.
My mother used to make me stand in the corner.
It's very shaming. Very shaming for a child. Very shaming, and it's absolutely inappropriate, as far as I'm concerned.
No, you're probably right.
No.
It shames the child.
I don't know.
The child. You know, I mean, how did you feel when you had your nose in the corner?
Terrible.
It doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't.
And it doesn't work. That's even the most important thing.
It does not work.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? If it worked, that's the thing about all this stuff. It's shameful, and it doesn't work. So what mix is that? Shameful and it doesn't work? Great combination, fuckface.
Right. Well, and you know what? Long-term effects, the child becomes self-critical of themselves. And
a stand-up comedian.
And again, real quick. We are not having that type of anger. What I just said towards Daniel's mom. We're having it towards someone today with modern technology.
Yes.
You're the one that we're not angry at his mom. She's a great mom that did what she knew how to do. You're living in 2011 and you're not going forward.
Okay, so yes, I agree. And there are parents now that spank their kids and say, oh, I did the best that I could. I mean, I was just saying on the comment that you made, right? Somebody that, have you heard that before? Somebody that spanks, I'm doing the best that I can. Mm-hmm. And there's also that rationalization.
Right, that's
okay.
Right.
I'm not saying your mom was a bad parent. It's lack of parenting skills. It's lack of parenting. So the child sits in the chair for whatever amount of minutes, their age, 5 minutes. Let's say he's 5 years old. He sits in the chair. You put the timer on. He knows when the timer goes off, mom's going to come over or dad's going to come over and say, Why were you in the thinking chair? A lot of parents, I like to encourage it to be called the thinking chair. And you ask the child why they were in the thinking chair, and they tell you why it was that they were in the thinking chair, what that behavior was, and what the solution is for the next time. As far as I'm concerned, it's always really, really important to talk to the child about the solution. How are we going to do this better next time? So, and then the child tells you the behavior they had and why it was wrong and what they're going to do next time, and then you give the child a hug and a kiss and I love you. So then what that does is that reconnects you with the child, then you have a solution for the next time, and the child feels good and the parent feels good.
Right. And let me interject something that I thought, if this doesn't work, because I think the mindset of a lot of people that are still fighting this, and I'm trying to be right there with them, they got their headphones on, they're listening, maybe they're still fighting it, maybe someone heard the show and told a friend to listen to it that knows they're pro-spanking, you gotta hear these idiots, they don't get it, you just love listening to it, they got a therapist on, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it got handed over to somebody like that. I think they would go to, what if you do all that and it doesn't work? And my answer to that was, well, did you ever think your child might need more than a spank? That you might have a child that has an emotional problem, that certainly spanking him, you won't spank him out of a serious problem if he's autistic at a young age and you don't know it. You think you can spank the autisticness out of him, if I said that right? So that makes sense, right? Like, why are you going to, if it doesn't work, then maybe it's time to not to look at the deeper problem.
I agree with that, although I will also say that most of the times the reason it doesn't work is because it's not done correctly.
Unless there's a serious illness.
Unless there's a serious problem in it, and it's completely inappropriate for either the child's age or symptoms that are going on with the child. Parenting also, you know, you have to use discipline according to the age of the child. It has to be appropriate.
Can I just to go back a little bit to the timeout. It's important that end cycle. It's important because you want to end it with love and respect.
Yes.
It's not the timer goes off, your kid gets to fly off the chair and go back up to his room.
No.
It's you have to complete the entire cycle. It's like updating the iPhone. If you just plug it in when it's done, it's not going to work. It's got to do it, right?
Reboot.
Absolutely.
Yes. Because
so it's authority, respect, and then they need love at the very end.
For sure.
Right.
And to know that the parents still, even though I discipline you, I still love you.
Yeah.
I still love you. And so when you're spanking a child, you're not teaching that at all.
No.
You're not teaching that at all. You're teaching them about violence.
Right. And there's no respect, authority, or love in that. Yes.
Right. And when you finish. I'm sorry. I don't mean in an abrupt way. That sounded abrupt.
No.
I interrupted you, and I want to go. I want to make sure, as far as the timeouts go, that you feel like...
Oh, no. I that's it. I wanted to make sure, like you were saying, that the last part of that is the love.
Right.
The hug, the kiss, and I love you, and so the child feels that love.
It's probably just as important as the 5 minutes they spend in the chair, if not. To
if
do
not
it at
more.
The end, yes. Right.
Absolutely. Because it's teaching the child that you're the parent, and you're in charge, and that no matter what, you're going to have the timeout. and you're not going to get up from the chair. You're going to sit there no matter what until the timer goes off. So that's teaching them that they have to respect you.
Yeah.
And they will respect you when you do that in a loving way.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to.
I love, and I hope you like this show. Even if you have some problems with the show, I hope at the end of it you still see what I'm talking about. When I watched the, what's it, where the nanny comes in? And
Nanny 911.
Nanny 911. I'm so glad that sometimes they show how difficult some of those things are. They don't just make it look good. There's one where you have to put the kid back in bed and put him back in bed. I love that they showed on one that it took 6 hours. It was like, they're not hiding that sometimes the first time, oh my God, 6 hours later, I'm going to pull my fucking head out of my hair. There's no, but then it works. And then your life, then look, don't look at that one night. Look at the years ahead of you of a child that knows to go to bed. And when I watch that show, I think if you're a parent and you're not watching that with chaos in your family. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're hitting your kids and you're spanking them and you're yelling and there's harmony in your house, you keep doing it. But it's not. No, no. So if you're doing all that and there's not harmony in your house, think about it. I'm not criticizing because you didn't do what I'm about to say, but I'm fucking criticizing you if you don't hear what I'm saying and go, oh, yeah, he's right. If you don't watch that show as a parent and there's chaos in your house and you go, honey, we've got to talk. We need, I don't care how hard it is, we need to majorly stop what we're doing. I saw that show and I know it's a reality show and I get it. It's, what the fuck? Look at the progress from mixing discipline with love. That's why I love that you said that. It's discipline with love. That these children, they love her and they're craving the person that disciplines them to also love them. And then when you watch it, you go, holy shit, look what she did. Look what she just did in one episode. So now, the alternative, the other things, like, you know, no TV, all
that. Yeah, by the
stuff.
Way, notice on Nanny 911, she never comes over and goes, oh, I just got to beat the shit out of your kids for 9 hours, and they'll be
fine.
Yeah,
you were right. Yeah,
spanking is never the solution.
Right.
Right, and I want to say something about that show also, because you're right. It's a good show for parents to watch. I have so many parents that come in after even one session, two sessions, sometimes three sessions, and we've gone over a lot of positive parenting techniques. And they believe in it, and they've stopped spanking their kids, and they believe in what I'm suggesting them to use. And then they come back two sessions later and say, it's not working. It's not working. It's not working. And then we go over exactly what it was that they did in that moment. And they have the same experience that those parents on that show have, because they don't realize that what it is consistency over and over and over and over again. The show that you were talking about, sometimes it takes 6 hours mm-hmm. to get the kid to sit in the chair or whatever it is, but at the end of the day it works.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's the most important thing, is that consistency.
Remember what you said before about it's mostly how did you say it, showing the examples? It's like
modeling.
Yeah, you said it's at 10. It's 90%
instruction
and 10% correction.
Right. So, it, you know, I was thinking it's almost like if you taught your children how to do math wrong and then go, I can't believe they don't know how to do it. It's funny when you teach your children most of the time how to do math right and you do it right in front of them. Because imagine if you added wrong, like you're at McDonald's and you went, what's that, 2 hamburgers and you want 3 hamburgers? That's 7. And that's what your kids saw all the time. But then when you sat them down, you told them right and wrong. But when they casually saw the way you did it, it was wrong. It's not going to work. So you're saying the same thing. Like, it's funny how when you consistently, would you show your kids how to do math right 99% of the time and 1%? No, 100% of the time you teach your children how to do math right. It's funny how they end up usually learning how to do math right. Except back to what we said, unless the child has a serious problem.
Mm-hmm. Kids are even more intuitive than adults in a lot of ways, because people will always pay attention to what you do and what you say. I think you can fool adults a little bit longer by, you know, saying certain things, but then kids, that's all they judge is your behavior. They don't really understand the context of what you're saying all the time, so they pick it up so fast. And as soon as they see bullshit, they call it, right? And
absolutely.
And them calling it is not saying, hey, Dad, you're full of shit. Them calling it is them staying up past when you told them to, not doing whatever you said.
Absolutely. And if they're being spanked, they don't respect you anyway.
Right.
Right. And The alternative, I keep going back to this just because I always have the same examples all the time, the no TV or whatever. Well, are there ones that, you know, what are some really cool ones that you utilize?
Really, the best thing to do is to use what works for that child based on age. So kids nowadays obviously are into video games. So you're right on about it. Television, take away what it is that they want and that's really important to them. So you have to know what your child is into and what's important to your child. That's part of that connection with your child. Mm-hmm. If you know what's important to him, you'll know what really matters.
And it's
always based on age. It's always based on age. So that question is really difficult to answer because there's so many different alternatives to spanking, obviously. But it's really about finding what's important to the child.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, positive reinforcement is the best way to parent. Taking away things, sure, that's important as well. That's a consequence because there's consequences in life. Although, for me, rewarding the child for good behavior goes a lot further than the punitive or the negative or the consequence.
Mm-hmm.
So I think consequences are extremely important for aggressive behavior, for behaviors that you just absolutely are just, you don't want to see these behaviors at all. So you want to consequence kids for those behaviors that are really serious. And I go right to aggressive behaviors because we don't want our kids to be aggressive. So you want to give them a consequence. And the consequence should always match the problem behavior.
Makes sense. So
that's important, although I always, like I said, go back to positive reinforcement. If you see your child doing something you want them doing, praise them. Praise them over and over again. Johnny, I really like that you made your bed this morning. That was great. So that goes so far for kids, and it builds confidence, and it builds esteem, and it builds all of those qualities that we want our kids to have.
I like that.
Is it ever appropriate? Sometimes you'll see a parent in public, and they're just, you know, yelling at their kid, or sometimes even, you know, putting their hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it ever appropriate for a stranger to step in? Because a stranger doing it in front of that kid will strip a lot of the power from the parent, which is probably even more damaging. Right?
That's a really tough question. That's a really, really tough question. Being a professional in the field, obviously, I'm a mandated reporter. So any kind of abuse, I have to report. Although when I'm not...
They're going to take away your show.
It's a good thing I know the hotline. I'm going to call them right now.
I just slapped Daniel in the face for people.
It didn't work. Try it again.
It didn't sound. It didn't sound like a comedy. So if you see something, you're going to come up.
No. I'm not required by law if I see something outside of work. If I'm on the clock, always I'm a mandated reporter. I have to report abuse. If I'm at the park...
Is there a clock? Do you have like a time card?
I'm pretty much always on the clock.
Have you ever done that?
Have I gone up to someone? I absolutely have.
Can you tell us one specific story?
I worked for abused and neglected kids for about 10 years, and I ran a couple of group homes. So we used to take them on outings all the time. We used to take these boys who were on probation. They were removed from their homes. Their parents were doing drugs on the streets, either incarcerated or dead or extremely severely abusive to them. Therefore, they were taken away from their homes and placed in residential care. So I ran one of these group homes. And we would take these boys. They were all on probation, severely aggressive. I wonder why, because their parents were always aggressive with them. And we would take them fishing. And we were fishing with them at a local park one day. And there was this older kind of grandfather type gentleman, shouldn't even call him that actually, who was hitting his grandson with a fishing pole and kind of hitting him, swatting him on the butt. And I was with all of my staff and we all saw it and we're obviously extremely passionate about this topic. And I went right up to him and I actually started having a conversation with him and I said, you know, I noticed that you were hitting him with your fishing pole and that's actually, it's against the law. And he became very offended. And this is the danger of doing this, because you never know how people are going to react in that situation. That's why I said it's a tough question for me, because do I think that we should stick up for kids in that situation? Absolutely. Absolutely. Although I think depending on the reaction from the person, it could get a little sticky. And so that's the problem that comes in with that, I think. So I went up to this older gentleman and I basically told him it was illegal and that I was going to call the authorities and that I didn't want him to hit his son again. And he became very offended, but he was also really caught off guard by it. And whether or not it did anything or it changed anything, it stopped it in that moment.
Right.
It stopped it in that moment.
Yeah, it is a hard one because you're right. It's like if you either have to go, okay, if I need to step in.
Right.
You
who
know,
knows what's going
to
happen?
Yeah, and if you need to, hey, if the right thing to do is step in and it evokes chaos out of the situation, sometimes that doesn't mean not to do it, but it just means make sure that. Oh, it's a tough one. Mm-hmm. I did it one time a long time ago. I just took a woman's keys out of her car because she was really, and I was like only 20 when this happened, and she was really just like overly like you're. I want to sit there and go. That's not the type of discipline I like, but. All right, I'm able to go. That's not called the police discipline. It's just, ugh, I wish that. But this was like, you know, and the police came, you know.
Oh, what was she doing?
Oh, they did.
She
was, it was in front of a movie theater in Philadelphia, in front of the Gateway Shopping Center. And it was just really, and then I noticed,
she
was just, you know, spanking the kid like past the point of, you know, where I was like, you know, and you know what I said to her? She was, I took her keys and she was furious.
What did
I
you
said,
do? You walked up?
I walked up.
Story, you're a storyteller.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, because I,
you're giving us like bits and pieces.
I know, I'm like, what?
Okay, I watched it happen. You know what it is? It's so many years have gone by. This is a long time ago. I was 18. This is 5 years ago. Hello?
It was 22 minutes ago.
I was probably in that area. So, I noticed just, you know, you take notice. It all starts by a little twist of the head. Whoa, that's hopefully, you know, it won't be as bad as I think. And then at one point I went over. And at this point I remember thinking that this is too much. And somehow I remember getting the keys out of her car because she wanted to take off. And all I said to her, I remember saying this. I go, look, I'm not, if you have no record, this is going to be a glitch on your record. But if this is your, you know what I mean? What I mean, if you have no history of doing this, life isn't over. But hey, if you do have a history of doing this, I was thinking, and this is the third time or the second time or whatever, yeah, life's going to get difficult for you. But, you know, so, you know, and the police came. And here's the I end the story abruptly because I never really know what happened at the end because the police came. I remember seeing an officer take the child out of the back seat. She was drunk. She had been in the bar. Wow. And at that point, I realized that I had a suspended license. And I was driving on it because I didn't take care of like 100 parking tickets. So I just sort of, because I was afraid.
But the point of that story is that kid is Justin Bieber.
That kid is Justin Bieber. All right, let's move on to something else here.
And Todd's his legal guardian now, so you know who cashed in on that one.
If here's another thing where I think, by the way, I'll make it. I think all our world's problems have to do with empathy and how we teach our children. I believe, and this would be, I would love to do this. Some studies would take so long to prove, or how long. If you took one elementary school and just taught them, and I heard actually Ellen DeGeneres say something about this. I'm like, I've said that, you know. A lot of times it's like, yeah, Todd, this all sounds great, but how can it happen? It can happen. If you took, you know, an elementary school full of kids and you taught them a class of empathy every day, they have reading, they have math, and you know, you had parents that were, hold on, I'm a little over the place. Let me stop. Let me get my point out a little clearer here. Wouldn't domestic violence go down amongst women if you have a girl from a house who was never hit? It's not even the vernacular. It's not even in their being to be hit. Wouldn't she be less likely to accept that from a boyfriend?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, how does someone from the other end, just on that alone, now you might go, what about guys? No, this is just an extra layer, or if anybody would accept any type of it. So here's why I believe people then get a little worked up. Because what we just said, what person's listening and doesn't understand exactly what we just said? It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I think it's so hard to do what we're talking about. And I may be mirroring what I already said, but people that are, I'm always imagining there's someone out there agreeing and disagreeing. And for the people that are disagreeing, you got to hit it from this angle, hit it from that angle, you got to hit it from this angle until you break them fucking down. They're going, yeah, it makes sense, but that's, now not, they wouldn't say it outwardly, but in their heart of hearts, in their quietest moment, they could explain to you how they know we're right, but it's fucking hard to do what they're saying. Well, guess what?
It's not.
It's hard in the moment. You should look at your hitting and spanking, going back to spanking. To me, it's like doing coke. Short-term gratification for long-term horror.
Absolutely. It stops the behavior immediately, and that's all it does.
That's all it does.
Teaches a child about violence.
Right.
That's all it does.
And that leads to,
abusive relationships. There's lots of studies on this. Lots of studies. There's actually one. Husbands who grew up in violent homes were actually 6 times more likely to beat their wives. That's just one study. But there's hundreds of studies that tells us that this is a bad idea.
And there's still people... Can you make sense of the way I'm saying this? There's still fairly intelligent people that argue this. To me, it doesn't bother me that a moron is saying it. When I see a guy going, that doesn't bother me. But when I meet people that are fairly intelligent, and I want to look at them and go, why are you holding on to this? Why can't this be the moment during this show where you go, stop it! Stop it! What are you doing? You're holding on to nothing because you don't want to admit
that you're wrong.
That you're wrong, and you're holding on to something for fucking nothing. If you're going to hold on to this, if you're someone out there and you're listening and you're holding on to this, then guess what? Don't you ever criticize a person that's addicted to heroin or someone that's overweight or anybody, because that's you. You're holding on to it for bullshit because it's too hard for during this moment you're listening to this to go, oh my God, this has to be my day where I stop the shit. Stop it. You're holding on to garbage for no fucking reason. There's no two ways about it. You're wrong. Now start being right. We'll take a break. No.
Yes. Yes.
Very good.
Yes. Yes. That's
and also,
awesome.
You know, that when people say we need to go back to the way it used to be, don't you think all our problems now are because the way it used to be?
Right? Absolutely.
How did it used to be? Explain to the listener, and from a clinical state, how the vision we have of, oh, they took a picture and we all were happy, and in the 1950s, what really was the average family back then? What did it consist of? What type of problems? And
the average family back then believed strongly in corporal punishment and hitting and spanking and being abusive.
Would you say less affectionate also parents?
Absolutely.
Male especially?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where did that get us? I mean, look at society.
Yeah. That's
exactly true. Look at all the problems.
Look at society. Yeah. That's where it all stems from. Absolutely where it stems from.
They're acting like everything worked out great. All the hitting and all the yelling was great. And then one day people just decided to stop doing it. Hey, you know what's been working great and raising wonderful children? Why don't we shake it up a little? There's people like you, intelligent people, because they're the people that went, it wasn't working. It was the product of a lot
of
unhappy people, unhappy children, unhappy wives, unhappy families.
Guess what? All the baby boomers that got hit a lot, that grew up in the 50s, that had the very, you know, closed-in, unhappy childhoods, now then had kids and raised them in the exact same shitty way, and that's where we are today.
Well, absolutely. Back then, it was okay to hit your child with a belt, a spatula, a wooden spoon, whatever you could find. Whatever you could find. That is abuse. That's abusive. Not, you know, in the 1979, did that become illegal to actually hit your child with something other than your hand? So for me, even that's archaic, for it to have taken that long for us to realize that this is not
20 seconds
okay.
ago, basically, we've decided.
Absolutely.
20 seconds ago, in the big scheme of this world,
absolutely.
20 seconds ago, we all came to an agreement.
Absolutely.
Hey, hitting your kid with a belt. All right, maybe that's wrong, but we're holding on to the hand. So, don't let it go completely. Right. Don't admit you're completely wrong. Well, I'll admit the belt's wrong, but the hand's still okay. I can still...
There's nothing intelligent in any of that. There's nothing intelligent in any of that at all.
And we talked about before the other side of it. Have you ever had, because it's, you have to look at the other side of it, had a conversation with someone that has a degree? Because can you give us a little peek at why they're listening to this, if they are, even if they're not, hypothetically, and they're
They're misinformed. They're misinformed.
But yeah, but guess what?
They're uneducated.
You're misinformed.
I think they're uneducated.
Hold on. You're misinformed.
Then I'd like to see the research that shows that spanking works.
What are they going to say? If they were here right now, what would they say?
Research that shows us that it doesn't work.
I'm sure they
can
quote some bullshit
science. The amount of research.
Hold on. So obviously, you know, I'm
role playing. I'm sure there's plenty of crackpot studies that have been done by some shitty, you know, I don't
know. Do you know any of them?
But
do you know where they go to?
The studies that they go to?
Yeah, where do they go?
Go to FoxNews.com. I'm sure you can find plenty.
You're saying the studies that they go to that show that spanking works?
Yeah, that it's a better way.
You know, I probably should know that, and for the next show, I will.
Yeah.
But right now,
that's what it's about. That would be great that you did that.
Because you know what? For me, that's just, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. The studies, first of all, are probably completely unscientific as far as I'm concerned. Where are these studies coming from? Show me a study that's valid.
You know what's amazing about it? It sounds silly to even say it.
It just doesn't make sense.
Like, if it sounds silly to go, I heard they're saying, but let me tell you something. I've got a degree. Graduated. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
I've interrupted you too. So I don't want to act like, how dare you? But
what is that in the microphone? The Todd Glass Show.
It sounds silly to say, I listened to that show and Shannon Lee and her goddamn degree. But let me tell you something. You hit your kids and you spank them. It makes them better people. They grow up. You know, there's the confidence you instill in a child when you use the spanking as opposed to what the crap they were taught. Doesn't that sound silly? Or is there someone out there going, yes, he's right. You hit a kid, you instill values in them, it makes them better people. And I always get glove when people justify, the ends justify the means. Like, I've heard people go, my dad used to spank me and I graduated from dental school. Oh, the ends justifies the means? That's like saying my neighbor's dog was barking, and I went over there, and I knocked on the door, and I punched his fucking wife in the face. You know what? That dog don't bark no more. Well, yeah, but could there have been a better way that you could have dealt with your neighbor's dog, and could there have been another way you could have gotten straight A's? Is that the only way? Is that your point? That there's no other people out there that got straight A's that their parents didn't hit them? Of course there is. So you stop talking. Stop talking about your parents hit you with a spoon, and because of that, it worked out.
And I'd really like to know those people, how they handle conflict and how they problem solve. Because I guarantee it's in an aggressive way.
Well, wouldn't it be crazy if it wasn't? Imagine if you went, you know, they did a study that most people that grew up, they end up being calm people that deal with aggression at work. And of course, they're going to do exactly that type of behavior.
Unless they have serious, serious detriment to them because of that spanking.
And then change.
And then they change.
Right.
So of course, obviously.
Right. That's very important to point out.
That as well,
right,
obviously.
Right. That's extremely.
People that aren't spanked don't always become aggressive parents and spankers.
Right.
But it tells you something as well, that spanking is detrimental. For somebody to have such serious emotional turmoil because they've been aggressively disciplined by a parent that's supposed to love them, that they have to find another way for themselves, which is really positive, because then they break that cycle.
Right. And one more thing. I'm always listening for the person that, there's two types of people listening. There's the people about to have children, and we hope this affects them, and there's also people that had children that might do done of a lot of the things we're talking about. Well, life's not over. Do you know what it would do? Because you want to hold on to it because you think, God, if I admit I made a lot of mistakes, what's going to happen to my relationship with my child? Do you know how, to me, it amazing it would be? And there's people out there like this, and I bet their story is that life got great to pull their kids into a room and go, listen, we made a lot of mistakes. We're not apologizing for not being perfect, but you need to know as children, we were far from perfect. We're not in here. You don't have to apologize to your kid. No one, like you said, no one's perfect. We made horrific mistakes. We want to acknowledge them. God, then life can get great and life's not over. You can undo it in a sense, right?
Absolutely.
You don't have to just hold on to it because if you admit it was wrong, oh my God, isn't everything going to crumble? I think not only is it not going to crumble, it's going to get wonderful, the relationship that you had the guts to sit your children down and go, we made mistakes. By the way, even if they're out of the house and they're on their own. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about when your kids are 25, you can
Absolutely.
Sit them down.
Absolutely. It's extremely powerful. Extremely. That can be extremely healing for
and any commendable.
Child. It, absolutely, in that situation. Extremely healing.
So you can only not only will things not crumble, you almost can be like, I would say if I saw a parent do that, a 60-year-old parent or whatever is, sit their kids down, I'm going to say you're almost a hero.
Absolutely.
Like, to get that place into your mental state to be able to do that, you're like, you're going to be like, do it because you'll be like, that's a great story. You're a hero to be able
very
to do
moving.
That.
I agree.
It's, right?
I agree. And I have actually had sessions with parents where they've come to that catharsis mm-hmm. about their own discipline style and the fact that they were wrong. And I do that a lot to help that healing process. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. It is. Not only for the parent to be able to let go of all that, but for the child to get really what he needs from his parent in that moment.
Do you cry ever in sessions?
Never.
Never?
Never.
Really?
Never.
Just because
would that be inappropriate?
Can't?
That would be, in my opinion, inappropriate.
Do you fight it sometimes?
Obviously, there have been times in my career working with severely, severely abused children where that can be very emotional, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Have I ever cried in session? No. There's a way to really be able to handle those emotions. I teach emotion regulation to parents and to kids, and I teach skills and coping skills, distress tolerance skills, interpersonal effectiveness skills, core mindfulness skills. These are skills, as far as I'm concerned, everyone should have from preschool. I think everyone should learn these in school, and I use them myself. So I have to be able to manage my own emotions.
So you never cry in movies either?
No, she didn't say that.
I'm asking, I don't know.
You know what? The last movie I cried at was a surfing movie.
Oh, really? Oh,
Soul Surfer. I was really moved, and I'm not a big crier. I really do manage my emotions.
But you were gentle when I was crying a minute ago.
Well, this is my role.
She's going to charge you for
this
that 20 minutes.
The check's in the mail. The bill's in the mail.
I have a question just about something you've done in your career that I read on Google.
I know.
Saudi Arabia. You've done work with children in Saudi Arabia?
I worked for the royal family of Saudi Arabia.
That sounds so much cooler. Yes, I'm sorry.
So I took a couple of years off to travel, and mm-hmm. that was after I worked for nonprofit for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, working with that population is very challenging, and after 10 years of that, I really wanted to take a break. So mm-hmm. I took a couple years off, and I worked with high-profile families, high-profile celebrity families mm-hmm. and their children, and it was extremely interesting and challenging and rewarding at the same time, although I found that I really, really enjoyed working with the underprivileged parents more. I really did.
Just in general, have you found there to be a drastic difference in approach to child rearing between the West and Saudi Arabia? I mean, I know there is, but is there anything you can highlight for us?
I think there's obviously a huge difference in approach, although for me the experience that I had was with the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
So that approach is extremely different as compared to a middle class working family. Very, very different.
Okay.
It's a completely different approach. It's like two different planets.
Yeah,
sure.
It makes sense.
Who's the most advanced in what we're talking about in the world? Is there an answer to that?
Advanced in,
is there a country
in what we're talking about, these
child
ways
development
of
raising children, yeah.
That's a really good question.
Probably
that's
Switzerland
really,
or something,
really
right?
Good question. There's, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Mexico.
That's all right.
Would you be surprised?
Mexico.
No, there was
it's
one.
Baghdad.
Other,
it's Iraq. I know, it's weird. They did a study.
There was one other thing we talked about that we can, about the something else, and then that. We'll take notes. Next time, you'll have homework. But,
yes.
I feel good as we go to sort of a wrap. I'm just making sure, we can always do this again, because I know we're going to, a million questions are going to flow. The one thing that I really want to make specific, this, if we're going to get anywhere better, it's not open for debate. This isn't open up for debate. And be ahead of your time. Don't wait 25 years to go, you know what, back then I thought it was hocus pocus. And I've always said this. I think the reason we are... Think about this. Why, not you, the listener, I think you probably already have thought about this. We are, what do you call it, advanced technologically? Technology, crazy amounts. maybe. What? What
no,
do you,
no, no, if,
say the word again.
No, technologically?
Yes, I can't say the word.
That's okay. I felt bad I corrected you.
No. I'm looking
that's what
for
he was looking for.
I'm looking for that. No, okay. On this show, if everyone knows, if I'm looking
okay.
around, I need help with a word.
Okay.
Because maybe because they don't sit around going, we need to go back to the way things used to be. They know that our answers for better phones and better TVs are ahead of us. So if all we would do is let go, because to me,
ego.
That's what we're clinging on to.
Ego.
Thank you.
Ego.
That's
let
right.
It go.
Because if you're sitting around the catalytic converter, going, well, I don't know about this new fuel injection. That would get in the way of a better car. Let go. If all we could agree as a society, look, there's 10 ways to go forward. We can argue on that.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be amazing if we just all went, okay, today's the day we're going to start. We don't need to go back to the way things used to be with raising children. We're here because of that. If we could all just agree, again, there's still arguments because there's 10 ways to go forward. But if we'd all go, yeah, you think in 2011 we could agree that maybe we could get things better, how we raise our children, if we'd admit that the answers are ahead of us, not behind us, that we could have. We think about how archaic we are with our sociological.
Sociological?
Raising children. Raising children. The amount of therapy that people go to mm-hmm. understand each other. If we were there technology-wise, we'd have cups with a string between them. So let's catch up on this end of it and be where we're at with cell phones and cars, where we're not. And let go of it. Your ego gets in the way. I always say that. Yeah, or the ego gets in the way of even any education. And we talked about this off the air, and we've talked about this on the show about when people are told, don't use the word retarded anymore. Don't use the word that's so gay. People always go, oh, everyone's so sensitive. And I figured it out. No. You know who's sensitive? You. And I thought, well, why sensitive? Why are you calling this? Because you're correcting them. If they're right and using the word retarded or saying, oh, Jerry's kids are here because someone dropped something, which was sociably okay. If they're right, well, then everything's fine. If it's okay to use the word retarded and call someone that dropped something Jerry's kids, comparing to them the brilliant people that can't, their motor skills aren't right. If they're right, well, then everything's fine. But if they're wrong, you're correcting their being. And they have to be able to. So they're calling it, oh, everyone's so sensitive. No. It's you. That's who's sensitive. You're being corrected, and you don't want to let go to a word you used for the last 20 years. Because that would mean, oh my God, if I've been using a word for 20 years that's wrong, if I'm wrong, I'd have to stop it. So I'll hold on to that. Right?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more on that.
Just let go of it.
Let go.
And you can always tell, by the way.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's so much information available, I'm so passionate about this topic, and I go back to always in my mind sitting with some of my clients who just say, it's not working. And I look at them and I say, we have so much evidence and education, and you're coming to an expert in the field who's telling you this does not work. But let me show you what does work. I get really intense in some of those moments, and that's sometimes what it really takes, is the passion that you have about this and that intensity to shake people up about this topic.
Yeah, if you don't shake them up, the way it's been going, it's not working.
It's not working.
I mean, you got to shake people up. And mm-hmm. in this show today, even I tried to think of the people that are holding on to it, that, hey, I think the hardest person it's for, and this isn't, there's 10 different reasons for the show today, but we have the people, like I said, that are about to have kids, people that have kids that can change. But I even have a lot of feelings for the people that their kids are 30 now and it's all over. Well, what do they do? Just sit around and go, I fucked up? No. Do what we talked about.
Make amends.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, you talk about the relationship you're going to have now till it's over. It's going to be such the awesome. Is it going to make up for everything that happened? You know what? In a way, yes. It'll make it magical.
Everything.
It'll mend it. And you got like the coolest parents in the world to tell that story. Yeah, I want to hear it from my parents. I didn't even know the call was going to come. My mom called me one day and she was a little bit choked up and she started to talk about it. And I thought she did a pretty good job. But she, it's going to be, it's all right. Just don't hold on to it, you know, because you're afraid that life will crumble, because it's not going to crumble, like we said. You had a question.
I was just going to say, you know, you can always tell. You can always tell when somebody, like, I'm at that age now where a lot of my friends are having kids or some, have had some and now they're growing up. And you can always tell what kind of a relationship that person has with their child at home by how they react in public around them. Right away, like when David Feldman was a comedian, we know. There's just a lot of people that when they bring their kids around, and it's almost like it's a friend. There's a genuine friendship there that leads to respect and a lot of other stuff, as opposed to just this is clearly a child being afraid of this adult, and they're here and they're looking into their phone or whatever they're doing, completely disengaged from the rest of the adults. It's not fun.
I agree.
Cut the shit. I want to hang out with your boring kids. Raise them right. That's what I'm saying.
No, I agree. And the only word that you use there that I disagree with is the friendship thing.
Okay.
Because your parent is not your friend necessarily. And that, okay, I think that can be, sorry. No, that can be confused for some parents is the only reason that I'm saying that.
Okay.
Because
okay.
some parents might take that to a level where, you know, I'm your friend and we're hanging out. No, there's a very serious parent-child boundary that is really important.
Okay.
So that just that word, sorry.
Right. I didn't mean friend, I meant employee.
You know what's funny?
Yes, of course.
I'm glad you said that because yes. I know exactly what Daniel means, but we also have an audience we're talking to, and there's someone out there right now going, oh, yeah, I've seen when parents want to be their kids' friends. No, we're split.
So it still has to be the power play has to be.
You're talking about a connection, though.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Not talking about a friendship. It's a connection. Yes. It's a mutual respect.
It's a mutual respect.
Absolutely.
That's age appropriate.
Absolutely.
And you know, one thing, we could sort of wrap it up with this, otherwise I'll talk about it forever. One more angle to hit that, you know, sometimes you could do all this, everything we said, and your kids end up, you know, maybe on drugs, maybe they go awry, maybe they end up stealing, or they end up doing it all wrong. But you know what? I've always thought this, and I talked to a friend of my family's that's a therapist, and they said, that doesn't mean all that was for nothing, because the majority of the times that won't happen. But for when it does, I know someone who their parents, everything we're saying they did.
Mm-hmm.
I won't mention who it is, but it's somebody I know. Their kid went through a tremendous hard time. And what got him out of that hard time was all that. Because if you have all a horrible upbringing and everything's wrong and then you go do drugs, well, what's your rock bottom to go, look what I lost? When you lost nothing, you lost an abusive family with yelling and screaming.
Absolutely.
But if you're sitting at your worst moment going, oh my God, I lost a loving family that did it.
And I could have the skills to get myself back on the right path.
Right.
So you might look at it like someone negative might go, yeah, well, the Blinsky, the kid, they did it all. Look at that kid. Look, we don't make what's right or wrong by you finding out the speck where it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the majority of the time it does. Dismiss everything that's right because of you're searching for a morsel.
And guess what? That kid,
work.
As an adult, might make some bad decisions that might put him in places he doesn't want to be. But if you give him the skill set, like you said, they'll always have it to find their way back and recover.
It doesn't mean they will.
They'll most likely get back there a lot quicker than if they don't have those skills at all.
Yes.
Right. Well, this was so much. I loved it. It was fun, and I've been wanting to.
I'm sorry I interrupted so much. I'll go stand in the corner for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Put your nose in the corner.
Hey, once you learn skills,
yes,
that you have to do with your children,
mm-hmm.
isn't it amazing how you'll apply them at a lady at a grocery store? You don't have to. But all those things end up helping you in other areas of your life.
Absolutely, and it inspires kindness and mm-hmm. contributing to other people. So imagine if everyone had those skills.
Yeah. And you know what? To me, where the world's at, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't like it, but like, look at the way, you know, I've said it, like, am I the only one fucking pulling my hair out that every problem we have with bullying and everything we're talking about, we should have another show about the people that hold on to that. Bullying's a part of life. It's a part of life. Why? The fuck do you, why'd you decide that? Because it happened to you? Well, bullying's a part. Let it go, let that go too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But all our problems, this whole world being in disarray, it makes so much sense. To me, the shocker would be if we had harmony. Look, in this world, you know, mass harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would prove that, yeah, you raise your children and yelling and spanking and all that, and what happens? The outcome of that is harmony. No, of course it's not. We're never going to be in a perfect world. I get it. There's always going to be negative. But we can do a lot better than we're doing. And it starts with just, it makes sense. When I see children from families that do what we're talking about, again, they're not perfect, but they try to be. You know, why don't you try to be as good? You know, people go, oh, we do the best we can. Try to be as good as a parent as you are some other craft you have. As good as you make your Christmas tree every year.
Absolutely.
Or as nice as you want your car to be. Why do you want to be an okay parent? Why don't you want to be like, I want to be like an awesome parent.
Absolutely.
Why are you taking parenting classes? Because I want to be an awesome parent. I want to learn new things, and I want to be. So it starts with your children, and you know, like I said, it's got to be. You know, you're going to have a moment where you stop and do some soul searching. You got to have some soul searching, or you do what we said. You just listen to this and you decide why it's not right. But you know it is. You know in your heart it is, and you need to apply that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Or you can go see our guest. By the way, she'll
she's
be more than
at the Laugh Factory.
she'll be dismissed all
her credits. Oh, she's also a stand-up comic. Wouldn't that like blow it? Like,
Do you have a website? Do you have one? Do you want to plug anything? You want to plug?
You can look me up on Psychology Today, Shannon Lee.
Okay, and then we'll have some information on.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I would hope that there'd be some parent out there or getting ready to be a parent that would go. Yeah, why? I hope someone does. The phone does ring.
Call
so, what is your website again?
You can actually, the easiest way is just to go on Psychology Today and look up Shannon Lee.
Shannon Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be great.
Or goodtherapy.org.
There you go. So, Blake, thank you for filling in for Katie Levine as our normal producer and doing this. And Daniel, thank you. Shannon, thank you.
Thanks,
this was great. Thanks, everybody. Bye. There we go.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.